Welcome to the official SBGAN podcast, hosted by Dr. Alex Nicely.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're listening to this. Dr. Christos Tsivinikos was graduated in 1999 from the medical school of the Aristotle University of Thessaloniki in Greece. And speaking personally now, I can only recommend a visit to Thessaloniki. It's a wonderful area, and the tombs of my namesake, the other Alexander, and his father, Philip of Macedon, are certainly worth a visit. But I digress. In 2005, after some years aboard ship in the Greek Navy as a medical officer, he followed his heart and his wife to Great Britain, where he began specialty training in pediatrics. Further training in gastroenterology followed between 2012 and 2015, capped by conferral of a consultancy at the Alder Hey Children's Hospital in Liverpool. He held that consultancy until 2018, when he accepted a commission to create in Dubai, that's the United Arab Emirates, a pediatric gastroenterology, hepatology, and nutrition department at the Al Jalila, have I got that pronunciation right?
Yes, Al Jalila, that's right.
Al Jalila Children's Specialty Hospital. Christos, you're joining, at Al Specialty Hospital. He joins your podcast team today to share with us his insights into and opinions on foreign body ingestion by children, dealing particularly with rare earth magnets and a small sideline in button batteries. Information on those heads is available through the references that are cited in the cover note that accompanies this podcast online, with particular emphasis again in this interview on how to manage magnet ingestion. The three questions of how dangerous are rare earth magnets, when and how are ingested magnets to be removed, and are we doing enough for advocacy and awareness are the armature of this discussion. So listen and learn how he fleshes out that armature. Christos, thank you for coming by.
Thank you very much for the invitation again in this podcast. As you said, the topic today will focus on the rare earth magnets. And we are talking about not just the usual magnets we see around, but these are very strong magnets, particularly from neodymium. That's a substance they have. Mm-hmm. And they have a huge flux force, which actually even difficult to separate them with your own hands.
Let's be a little bit more precise. You're talking about the desktop toys for adults.
Sort of, yes. They are advertised like this, and this is a problem, okay? These are very dangerous toys, I will say, and mm-hmm. completely, to me, unnecessary for iron body ingestion for children, because easily can be banned and they're not needing because, they cause some joy for the people who have them, but they are posting very huge risk for small children, even adolescents, believe it or not.
The TikTok challenge.
That's right. Even adolescents.
I read a little bit about that, but you're the expert, so you tell us about that challenge and the problems that it caused.
There have been TikTok challenges in the UK, in Australia, and adolescents in particular, they compete how many magnets they will ingest and how quickly they will ingest, and ending up with multiple intestinal perforations.
It's amazing what idiots children are, particularly adolescents. You put your tongue out, and you put a magnet on the top, and you put a magnet on the bottom, and then bloop, all of a sudden, they're in your stomach, and they're causing merry hell. So that was the TikTok challenge that I remember. But it was possible in the United States.
That's right.
To ban them, at least temporarily, and then to re-ban them, most recently, if I remember right, in 2020.
That's right. I mean, the North American Society, NASPGAN, has actually advocated this for a long time. It managed to ban them around 2014, 2015. It went to the courts, advocated a lot. The companies, they bounced back, they appealed, they won. But finally, since 2 years ago, and this is mentioned on our Espagan position paper for marketing and gesturing children. They managed to pass a law with the Consumer Protection Safety Agency there, and they allow only certain flax power for magnets, meaning not the very strong ones, to be in the market. Of course, I'm pretty sure the companies will appeal for that, but this is an ongoing fight with the companies, because actually the market is quite strong. They are available online. The people love them, you know, to play with this. The problem is they don't know how much dangerous can be if ingested by small children. We mentioned the adolescents. Of course, there are always the people with psychiatric illnesses who can ingest foreign bodies at any age, but the vast majority of the cases are small children, young children, which usually is unwitnessed, and usually in a staggered...
Unwitnessed, right. So a toddler crawling around under mother's desk picks up one of these things and then picks up another, and nobody knows until it's too late.
Unfortunately, that happens with the majority of the foreign bodies, unless it's a caustic ingestion and you may see something in the mouth or a syndrome. Or most of the foreign body ingestions are going on. It's the same with the button batteries, with sharps, and so on. And because it's a bland object per se, it doesn't cause immediate symptoms.
Right.
You see, it can go unnoticed for days. We had some cases even for months. And they did an X-ray for constipation, for example, and they found this ring of magnets somewhere in the small bowel. This is the lucky cases. These are the lucky cases.
The lucky cases. Yeah.
Because what they do, because they have so much strong force, they perforate small bowel, even stomach, even colon can catch in between, but usually it's loops of small bowel. And they form, I have to say, very nice and tight perforations, sometimes without causing peritonitis. That's why they can go unnoticed for some time. But eventually, they will cause peritonitis. And I'm telling you, it's a nightmare even for a surgeon to look for these tiny small things causing multiple holes in the small bowel. Some of the kids have died. They haven't made it.
You know, this is a little bit of a digression again, but it very much reminds me of the USA attitude toward guns. The country's swimming in guns, and they're adults' toys, these guns, but a pistol in mama's purse when the toddler starts to fish around, well, there's a dead kid. And...
That's right.
Freedoms. Well, a little bit overrated here. Anyhow, I'm happy to live in Europe is all I can say, but I'm not so sure that I'm happy with what progress has been made in banning these toys in Europe.
Unfortunately, not much, but we are planning in Espagan and through the Public Affairs Committee to, along with the button batteries, where we have a very strong advocacy the last at least 4 or 5 years, liaising with the European Commission and some other stakeholders like the industry and so on. The magnets, I think, will have much stronger position because, okay, button batteries are here to stay. Let's be honest with that. They're everywhere in so many devices. But magnets, we don't need these magnets, honestly.
That's so true, yeah.
We don't need these magnets.
Well, you're preaching floods to Noah here, yeah. I believe. Anyhow, well, the horse is out of the barn, or the magnet is down the hatch, and what do we do now?
Now, once we find out about that, because the problem is you need a high index of clinical suspicion to think about this. Mm-hmm. Now, any case of possible foreign body ingestion in children is always, when it comes to the emergency department, some emergency departments, by the way, they have metal detectors, and that helps. Yes? Like an airport.
Like run a wand across the across the kid's tummy.
That's right. And some of them, if the parents consent, they can pass through a gate like the airport. So some emergency departments, they do have them. And I have to say, it's very helpful because it cuts those children who come for completely unrelated reason to the emergency department, like a cough and cold. And sometimes they just a metal detector detects something.
Oh, that's an amazing story. Okay.
So... anyway, if you don't have this metal detector and you suspect foreign body ingestion, particularly for magnets, you have to do AAP and the lateral chest X-ray and abdominal X-ray, covering up from the neck up to the pelvis, because you never know what else these children have swallowed. we have seen a lot of things.
Oh, okay. Once pica is not particularly discerning, let's put it that way.
Now, if you look on the position paper we published in JBGN, you will see two major categories of scenarios. Mm-hmm. One is the single rare earth magnet ingestion. Things are a bit straightforward there. If it's a single, it shouldn't cause a problem because there's no other magnet around to cause perforation or complications. However, you have to make sure that there's no co-ingestion with any other metallic object.
Right.
So, baton battery, coin, or any other metallic object. Because there is also magnets, which are actually more common. Those ones we put like ribbons in our clothes, or on the clothes usually not so strong magnets, which are bland objects. But if they are co-ingested with this rare earth magnet, they can cause a problem, as you can imagine, because they attract each other with a huge force. Mm-hmm. So, yes. Single, it's okay, but you have to make sure you do AP and lateral X-ray, because sometimes on the AP, a two magnet can look for one. So you have to look from the side as well, from the lateral position, to make sure is one and not two. That makes a big difference.
Gotcha. And then?
Then, if it's a single one and no co-ingestion, you can just follow up. I have said this. There have been the rare case reports where there is either a Meckel's diverticulum or a previous abdominal surgery theoretically, that single magnet can stuck in the appendix and can cause a problem. Or the Meckel's diverticulum. That's super rare, but just have to be aware.
Well, it may be rare, but rare or not, it's certain that it will come through your accident and emergency department one of these days, and you have to be ready for it. However, single magnet ingestion is not so big a problem as multiple magnet ingestion,
right.
Seems to me.
This is a scary thing, okay? So multiple magnets, usually we have seen up to 30, 40 cases, usually in a staggered time fashion. And this is the problem. They don't swallow them all together. If you swallow them all together, usually they stick together. They make a line or a small circle. But if you have the stagger ingestion on different time phases, then this is the problem. One goes down to the small bowel, the other just lying around the stomach, and then they move around and they start attracting each other and slowly, slowly will perforate either the small bowel or the stomach or all together. And this can take variable time of time. Mm-hmm. Now, if you look on the algorithm now for multiple magnets in our position paper, there's a lot of debate when you have to do an endoscopy. Now, as we know, the limit of the average endoscopy is the duodenal flexure.
Mm-hmm.
Some people maybe can reach the first part of the jejunum, but that's a little bit difficult, technically speaking. That's the reach of the average endoscopy. It's basically duodenum, okay? Now, the problem exists because when you look an X-ray and it's an AP or lateral X-ray, there's no imaging study which can tell you where exactly the magnets are lying. Especially when we're talking about upper abdomen. It's a very arbitrary definition. And that's why I look on that in the literature. I discuss it even with our radiologists. Nobody can tell you if that magnet looks on the upper abdomen, it's stomach, small bowel, or even colon. All these can, they overlap each other on the X-ray.
And wiggling around.
So I put there, just to be on the safe side, if anything above the iliac crest, it should be considered as a within average GI endoscopy reach. However, I agree, and there is a debate for that. And the debate is, when you see this kid, okay, if the kid is peritonitic and has peritonitis, you call the surgeons. And that's one of the main messages I want to pass there on the position paper we published with the GI committee and my fellow Dr. Ahmed Nugut, who is the first author, that you have to have from the beginning, side by side, the pediatric surgical team. because most likely they need to intervene at some point. They may not, but they have to be aware. So it's a joint decision, looking at the X-ray. If it feels this is an upper GI, within the upper GI endoscopy reach, then you discuss with the parents, and I say this for personal experience, that we believe these magnets can be retrieved with upper GI endoscopy, but we cannot be sure that we will see them or we will be able to retrieve them. And I will explain why these possibilities are there. First of all, they may look in the stomach, but maybe down in the small bowel in a loop, which looks on the upper abdomen, and then that's it. You cannot see them at all. Sometimes you see them either duodenum or stomach, but they have already done perforation. And so you try to remove one of them and the other stay behind. So that's why the surgical team has to be around. And the parents have to be aware for that. Because some families, especially with the stress that are coming, in this scenario, they come and say, oh, you did the endoscopy, but you didn't find anything. This has to be on the consent form. Because I have faced this with some of my colleagues, and if it's there, explained to parents, they can understand that. Now, there is an option as well, if you look some other papers in the literature, if they don't cause issues, at least there's no clinical signs of peritonitis, to monitor them with serial X-ray. Some people that do every 6 hours. Now, the debate with that and what I tried to pass on the position paper and the consensus from all the co-authors was, an upper GI endoscopy, yes, has a general anesthesia. There's no doubt about that. There is a tiny risk there. But the risk of missing the opportunity to remove these magnets before they go beyond the upper GI endoscopic reach, I think this risk is much higher.
Understood.
And it was to have an upper GI endoscopy, even if it's unsuccessful locating or removing the magnets. There may be different opinions there, but that's my opinion from my personal experience, the consensus from the co-authors, because that's your opportunity to remove and avoid surgery. And I'm telling you, I have seen many of these cases, especially during the pandemic, who had a huge flux of foreign body ingestions, including magnets. And it's a nightmare, even for the pediatric surgeon. It's an abdomen full of fluid, peritonitic, and you're looking for tiny beads which are hiding between somewhere in the small bowel. It's not easy for the pediatric surgeon at all. So if you have the opportunity to remove them before they cause this catastrophe, I think that's very important. And that's why they try to pass on the algorithm for the multiple magnet ingestion.
Thank you, Christos. That algorithm is presented in Nugode et al. Pediatric Magnet Ingestion, Diagnosis, Management, and Prevention, a European Society for Pediatric Gastroenterology, Hepatology, and Nutrition, ESPGHAN, position paper that appeared in JPGN back in 2023. But there's also something to be recommended to you, and that is Furlano et al.'s Mistakes in Pediatric Foreign Body Ingestion and How to Avoid Them, published in UEG Education from 2024, volume 24, number pages 1 through 7. Those don't bother trying to write those down, but they are already referenced for you, as mentioned in that cover note. We haven't had a chance to get to ingestions of other sorts of things, sharps, button batteries. We've touched on them, but in no way so completely as we'd like, and I frankly hope that ESPGHAN invite you back again so we can deal with those things. But it's time to close.
Shall I say something before I close?
Okay, You're the man.
For all this foreign body ingestion, there is a massive online course developed by ESPGHAN. I had the honor to be the lead educator on that, then worked with another 10, 12 colleagues intensively last year. It's available for free if completed within 3 weeks and covers all the scenarios of foreign body ingestion in children, including caustic ingestion. And we'll put the link under this podcast for everybody to join. More than 1,000 people have joined so far.
Fantastic. And I hope that doesn't preclude having you back in person. At this time, generally we ask that somebody recommend a song that speaks to him or her, and that will also speak to our listeners. Those songs are available through Spotify. ESPGHAN Favorite Songs is the name of the list that you have to seek out. And I'm sure that you've brought one for us. What is the name of that song, please?
It's Aprilis, which is the month of April in Greek. and is by the famous, world-famous Greek composer Mikis Theodorakis.
Thank you very much for the song. Thank you very much for the chat. And thank you for all the work that you've done on behalf of parents and children who have encountered or might encounter rare earth magnet ingestion.
Thank you, Alex.